This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
1 Corinthians 15, this is what it says. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Isn't that good news? And that he was buried, but he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, he was seen of Peter, then of the 12. We need amazing folks. The one who denied him, the one who denied him, he said, he's the one I want to see first. Not to reprimand him, but to tell him I love him. To tell him I still believe in you, Peter. And Peter, I've still got a plan for you. I don't know about you, but that's good news. After that, get this, folks. He was seen of 500 brethren at once. Get that in your mind. 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have passed or they've fallen asleep. Let's pray. Lord, for this specific hour, give me Pentecostal power. I'll speak to ears to the best of my ability. But Lord, only you can speak to hearts. Only you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can meet people's needs. I can't. So would you meet the needs of your people today? And for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. To you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have a friend. He's a businessman, and he lives in Ohio. He runs a business, and usually when I'll write a book, he'll contact me and he'll say, Benny, I need to get 700 or 800 of your books. And I'll say to him, Craig, why do you want 700 or 800 of my books? And he says, well, I want to give every one of my employees one of your books. And we'll talk a little bit, and then we'll get ready to get off the phone. And Craig will say to me, he'll say these words. He said, Benny Tate? I said, yes, you got to know this robust guy. He said, if you ever have a need of anything and you don't reach out to me, you're living beneath your privileges. If you ever have a need of anything and you don't reach out to me, you're living beneath your privileges. And that got in my mind, living beneath our privileges. A guy was in Europe, and he got on a cruise ship. It was an ocean liner. And he knew it was going to be a three-week cruise to America. So he did something. He got his suitcase, and he put in all these peanut butter and crackers in the suitcase. I mean, he just filled it up. And mealtime would come around, and he would smell that delicious food. I mean, he could smell it. But he would do something. He would go to his room, and he would get those peanut butter and crackers and eat them. And this went on three meals a day. He said, I dreamed about that delicious food on that cruise ship that I couldn't have. And he said, finally, the day before the ship was going to get ready to port, he was going to port in America, he said, a friend that I'd made on the cruise said, come into the cafeteria. Come into the dining hall with us. And he said, no, I can't do that. I'm going back to the room to eat cheese and crackers. Peanut butter and crackers. He said, well, friend, did you pay for the cruise? He said, yeah. So you paid the full price. He said, the full price. He said, well, you don't understand. The meals were included in what you paid. This whole time, you've been eating crackers when you could have had lobster. You could have had steak. What he was doing, He was living beneath his privileges. He was living beneath his privileges. You said, preacher, it don't make sense to me, the sermon. Well, just stick with me and it will. He was living beneath his privileges. In John chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said to his disciples, now I've been with you here now for 33 years, 3 years of ministry, and I'm going to ascend and go to my Father. Verse 6 says they were very sad. They had forsaken family. They had forsaken familiar. They had forsaken finances. They had forsaken everything to follow him. And now he's leaving. But then Jesus looked at them in verse 7, and he said these words. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He said, you got to understand something. It's not necessary for me that I go away. He said, it's necessary for you that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send my spirit back. See, God sent his son, but his son sent his spirit. I'm going to send my spirit back. And John 14 and 17 says this, when the spirit of truth is come, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And that's why he said in John 14 and 12, he said, the works I'll do, you'll do greater works when my spirit comes. Because he said, when I was here, I could only be at one place. But through the Holy Spirit, I can be everywhere. Because through the Holy Spirit, I am in all those who accept me. Now get this. 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. You read it. 500 saw a man who was dead, put in a tomb. 3 days later, he gets out. And you're looking at this guy. You're looking at this guy who was dead, but now he's alive. That happened to 500 people. And he said to them, this is what's going to happen in Luke. He said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait and you'll be endued with power from on high. Now something hit my mind. In Acts chapter 1 verse 15, if you study the word of God, 120 were there. Acts 2:4 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I wonder about. What went with the 380? What went with the 380? 500 of them saw the resurrected Jesus, but only 120 of them were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So 76% weren't experiencing the fullness of God's power in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing worse than a full church of half full people. Nothing worse than a full church of half full people. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? No, listen very closely, because this may be one of the most important messages that I ever preached to the Christian. Ephesians 1:1 says it was written to the saints which are at Ephesus. Listen, not to a bunch of lounge lizards down at the Crystal Pistol. Not a bunch of people that were lost as last year's Easter egg. These were saints. These were church people. These were godly people. But look what he said to them. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying to the church, be ye filled with the Spirit. He's saying to the believers, come up real close, folks. He's saying to the church, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. He related it to drunkenness. A drunk would do abnormal things. And ladies and gentlemen, if we would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we would do abnormal things. We would do exploits. If we'd be filled with the Spirit of God, there'd be no explanation other than the Spirit of God. Now, guess what I've got to decide, and maybe what you've got to decide. Am I going to be part of the 380? Or am I going to be part of the 120? Because you've got a choice. You say, well, I've experienced Jesus. They had an experience with Jesus. By the way, they saw the resurrected Jesus. But I've got to decide, am I going to be part of the 120 or am I going to be part of the 380? Now, why do you think there's the 380 crowd, Brother Benny? I think, first of all, there's the clarity issue. There's the clarity issue. What do you mean? Well, Paul gets to Ephesus and he says to them there at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, he said, did you all receive the Holy Spirit? And they said these words. We've not heard anything about the Holy Spirit. Listen to me closely. The average church in America has spent a lot of time talking about God and a lot of time talking about Jesus, but no time talking about the Holy Spirit. Because we've compartmentalized and said that's for another denomination and that's for another group. That's for another group. Folks, let me go on record as saying the Holy Spirit is for everybody. He is for everybody. He is for everybody. He is for everybody. Nobody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can't live the Christian life. We can't become a Christian. We can't have assurance of salvation outside of the Holy Spirit of God. We desperately need him. The clarity issue. The fact that we haven't taught. But not only the clarity issue, but there's the control issue. See, we have to decide who are we going to let control our lives. You've got to decide, who are you going to let control your life? The Bible says 40 times to be ye filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled? Explain that, Brother Benny. Is it like pouring into a jug? No. It means to be dominated. It means to be dominated. And we've got to decide, am I going to be dominated by the Spirit of God? Or am I going to be dominated by my own self-will? There's the clarity issue, there's the control issue, but thirdly, there's the clean issue. There's the clean issue. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about vessels. It talks about vessels of gold and silver, and that's what they would put the wine in, the vessels of gold and silver. But then it talks about the vessels of wood and earth. And they would put garbage, they literally would put waste in these vessels. And get this, it says there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. And we have to decide, am I going to be a vessel of honor Or am I going to be a vessel of dishonor? Because he is a Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody said, before we ask God to fill us with his Spirit, D.L. Moody said, we should ask God to empty me before we ask God to fill me. That is to say, God, empty me of self. Empty me of my ambition. Empty me of my desires. Empty me of my pride. Empty me of my concern of public opinion. Empty me of what others think about me. God, empty me of this greed. Empty me of this lust. God, empty me of this racism. God, empty me. God, I need you to empty me. This is what I can tell you. And I'm gonna move. But you gotta pull out the weeds. You gotta pull out the weeds. You say, preacher, I don't know all. Listen, I've got enough confidence in the Holy Spirit of God. He's showing you what the weeds are right now while I'm preaching. He's showing you the feelings you have for somebody that you shouldn't have. He's showing you the unforgiveness that you need to let go of. He's showing you the things that you've said that you need to make right. He's showing you right now. You said, preacher, how do you know? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Somebody said, oh, Brother Benny, I went down there and you got on my toes. Listen, I didn't get on anybody's toes. If I was going to aim for a body part, it wouldn't be your toes. No, it's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts us, folks. But look, we got to pull out the weeds so God can put in the seeds. That's a good tweet. We got to pull out the weeds so God can put in the seeds. Because he can't put in the seeds until we get rid of the weeds. Now, why, Pastor Benny? Why is a spirit-filled life so important? And what are the privileges of living a spirit-filled life and being filled with God's Spirit? Let me give you three. Number one, he's our seal. He's our seal. Just out of curiosity, how many of you would say, Pastor Benny, I've asked Christ to come into my heart. I'm a believer. Okay, you raise your hand. Good. I'm good, 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 good. Okay. You said, well, you got saved. What seals that salvation? Well, let's read. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Wait. In whom also after that ye believed, look, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, that's that. You were sealed with the Holy. Oh, good. I'm sorry, but you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, here's what I wanted to know when I read that. How long am I sealed for? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, that'd make a backslidden Presbyterian shout. Amen. I mean, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Look, folks, I'm not worried. I don't live a millisecond worrying about dying and going to hell. I don't live a millisecond, brother, worrying about dying and going to hell. You know why? Because I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Despite what my emotions tell me, despite what the enemy tells me, despite what human and reasoning tells me, I've been sealed. And by the way, folks, God's seal is greater than any seal that this world has. God's seal is greater than any seal that this world has. You know, they put Jesus in a borrowed tomb. And they put a big stone, the Bible says, in Matthew 27, verse 66. And it said, they sealed the stone. They were saying, we're putting the seal of the Roman government, that he's in the tomb. And this stone is the seal. But then I read Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2, and that stone gets rolled back. And that seal that the Roman government thought was so great, the angel is sitting on the seal. That's God's way of saying, Rome's not in charge, the guards are not in charge, God's in charge. Oh, here's what I know. He's our seal. Let me tell you something else. He's not only our seal. Look, he's our defender. He's our defender. You know, the word Holy Spirit comes from the Greek word paraclete. Paraclete. That was a warrior term used by Greek soldiers. And when the Greek soldiers would go out as paraclete, they would go out two by two. And the reason why they would go out two by two, they would stand like this. And they had each other's back. What the Bible is saying is the Holy Spirit, he's got our back. He's our defender. He's protecting us even when we don't even know he's protecting us. He's watching out for us even when we don't even know he's watching out for us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he is our shield and buckler. He is our defender. David Livingstone, the first white man to take the gospel to Africa. He was over there, and he got word from a headhunter that a tribe was going to kill he and his few men that night. And David Livingstone said, he said, I assumed I was dead, because from this native tribe, they had sent word from the chief that they were going to kill me. And he said, I just thought it would be the end. But he said, 3 or 4 days passed and I was still alive. And he said, I heard the chief and the tribe got saved. And he said, I saw that chief, and I said to the chief, I thought you were going to kill me. He said, Livingston, I had planned to. I came to kill you that night. But when I came to your camp, I saw 47 warriors. They had a torching flame in one hand, and they had a sword in the other hand. And he said, my men knew we were no match for 47 warriors. So he said, we left after coming to kill you. David Livingstone said, 2 years later, I was in Scotland on deputation. And I told the story. I told the story that happened. And after the service, a man came up to me and he said, Livingstone, he said, that story took place. That story took place on January the 14th, 1856, didn't it? He said, sir, it did. How did you know that? He said, because we have a men's group, and we met on January the 14th, 1856, and one of the men in our group said, I feel like we need to pray for David Livingstone's protection. He said, we knelt and spent an hour in prayer praying for your protection. And he said, I have the journal, the date right here, January the 14th, 1856. And he said, here's the signatures of all the men that were here that night. 47 men signed it. 47 men. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he's our seal. He's our defender. But let me give you one more. He's our helper. That's what he's referred to, by the way, in John, four times. And I will pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He'll give you another helper. Well, Pastor, what does he help us to do? Well, he helps us to reach others. See, here's what some of you are thinking. Brother Benny, I can't share my faith. I can't witness. Well, let me explain something. 380 of them saw the resurrected Savior. But apparently that wasn't enough to be a witness. But Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. See, you can't do it within yourself, but you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, I don't even know what to say. Well, when you don't know what to say, the Bible says in Mark 13 and 11, when you're sharing your faith and you don't even know what to say, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Isn't that good? You say, Pastor, I can't do it. Yes, you can. The witness is within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. A buddy of mine that I've been preaching for, and he's been preaching for me for 25 or 30 years. His name's Bill Purvis. Bill said, Benny, I was as lost as last year's Easter egg. And he said, one day I was home and the doorbell rang. And I go to the doorbell, the door. And there's a kid standing there shaking. He looked at me and said these words, everything you need can be found in Jesus, and runs like a scalded dog. He said, I thought, wow, that's strange. Everything you need can be found in Jesus, and just runs. Bill Purvis said a few nights later, Benny, I picked up a prostitute. I took her to a motel. We cut the light out. He said, when I cut the light out, Benny, I could sense a presence behind me. It was her pimp. He grabbed me, took a knife, split my back, cut my jugular vein completely in two. The only man ever to live to have his jugular vein cut completely in two. He said, I busted the door of that motel and that thing popped. And he said, I ran and fell down at a street light. And the words came to me. Everything you need can be found in Jesus. And he said, I said, God help me. And God did. Never underestimate what the power of the Holy Spirit speaks through you. Never underestimate just a few words may change somebody's eternity. Look here. He helps us to reach others. But he not only helps us to reach others, he helps us to overcome. David overcame his giant. I wonder how many today in your life, in some shape, form, or fashion, you'd have a giant. Just out of curiosity, how many would say it, and it's seated right beside me. See, we talk about David and the giant. But folks, don't put the emphasis on David. Read 1 Samuel 16:13. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. It wasn't David, it was the Spirit of the Lord. How you can overcome is through the Spirit of God. You said, Pastor Benny, I can't overcome this struggle. You can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Benny, I can't overcome this vice. You can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Brother Benny, I'll always be an alcoholic. I don't believe that. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than any vice. I can't overcome this online pornography. Yes, you can overcome pornography through the power of the Holy Spirit.
You're going to be full of something. You just got to decide what it's going to be and who it's going to be. I'm trying. Number three, to respond properly to others. The advantage frogs have over us, they can eat whatever bugs them. We can't. And you won't respond properly in your own. I don't know about you, but I don't respond properly on my own. The Bible tells me to have no confidence. There's no good thing in this flesh. I don't respond well on my own, but I need the Holy Spirit to respond properly. And let me tell you lastly, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. You said, Preacher Benny, I don't know how to pray. You're in good company. Paul didn't either. Say, I don't really know how to pray. You're in good company. Paul didn't either. And look what he said. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit. I'll tell you about a man in the Bible. He could handle 450 prophets of Baal, but one woman got him in trouble. One woman can get you in trouble. One man can get you in trouble. One woman got him in trouble. And he got discouraged. Get this, folks. And the Bible says in 1 Kings, he got under this juniper tree and he said, God, kill me. And the Holy Spirit said, God, that's not what he means. And he woke up and there was a cake in front of him. See, he said, God, kill me. And the Holy Spirit said, God, what he means is cake me. See, when we pray, the Holy Spirit, he takes our prayer request and he makes them bigger and better. He makes them bigger and better. That girl who says, nobody wants to go out with me. God, I just wish you'd give me a date. Holy Spirit says, that's not what she means. What she means is, God, she wants a godly man. She wants a godly husband. She wants a husband who will take her to church on Sunday. She wants a husband who will live for you. God, that's not what she means. What she really means is she's not wanting a date. She's wanting a godly man is what she's really asking for. And I'm praying and I'm saying, oh God, if you could just give us an acre or so more at Rock Springs, we might can build this building. And God says, the Holy Spirit says to God, Benny don't know what he's praying about. He don't need an acre. God, he needs 30. Because see, God, you and I both know all the great things that you're going to do down there. He don't know about it, but you and I know about it. And he really needs 30 because that's what's going to happen. And that guy says, oh Lord, could you help me to make rent Friday? Could you help me to make rent Friday? And the Holy Spirit says, oh God, that's not what he's really asking. What he's really asking is, would you give him a house? Would you give him a house in a good neighborhood? And would you give him one? And God, would you pay for it? Would you help him to get it paid for? He thinks he's just wanting rent. But what he really needs, God, is a home.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the, goodness gracious, that's, nobody's feeling this but me.
That's what the Holy Spirit does for every one of us. Look here. I made up my mind years ago that I didn't want to be a church that started at 11 o'clock sharp and ended at 12 o'clock dull. I made up my mind, I don't want to live beneath my privileges. I want the power of God. I believe 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I believe Zechariah, not by power nor by might, but my spirit. I believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He is the great I am. Can we give him praise? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Friend, Charlie, I don't want to live beneath my privileges. I want to be everything I can be for the honor and glory of God. How many of you would say, Pastor Benny, that's me? That's me. Hands all over the house. Hands all over the house. Hands all over the house. Hands all over the house.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.